What up, wonderful ADHDers? Let's go.
If I can do it, then you can too. Old team together and we'll make it through. I've been going solo for all too long. And it's time to move on. ADHDers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey guys, we thought we'd have a relaxed fireside chat this time about unmasking, how to keep it real. We're going to try and be our most authentic selves and not pretend for a society that doesn't understand us so much. But we are the change. We are leading the change. We are empowered ADHDers and we're choosing what we're going to do with our freaking lives. Even though we have these things that make us different. What do you think of that, Adi?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to ADHD Explorers. I'm Addie, and that's my co-host, Ben. And yeah, we're here to just talk about living as your authentic self. Essentially, if you don't know what masking is, you might have been doing it without even realizing. And it is essentially trying to hide your ADHD in public settings or denying the real effect that ADHD has on your life. And just trying to fit into that, you know, square peg hole when we are those round pegs, and it does not work, right? And it's uncomfortable. We go into burnout. It's just like not an ideal situation.
I feel like when I can't be myself, it drains me. You know, like if I'm around judgy people, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even like relax anymore. And I have to freak out with anxiety for an hour. And I'm locked in here with them. I'm locked in at a party and I want to leave and I can't because it's a social occasion. But now I'm like, you know what? I am going to go into a cupboard for a bit. I am going to sit outside and lie on the grass for a bit because I can regulate my nervous system in that way. And that's totally good boundaries. Go me. Nice one. I'm sure you do it in different ways. Everyone does.
Through unmasking, I find that you're better able to then engage in the things that you like want to or need to in your life because you're not working so hard to put on this face to be this version of yourself that you think other people want, that you use up all your energy on that instead of actually doing the things that you love and need to do in your life.
It's like as ADHDers, we're growing up and because we see the world differently, the things that we're feeling inside don't like correspond to what's going on in the world around us. Like people say like, oh, you should feel fine now. Why are you feeling weird? If someone's not validating your reality, it'll feel weird, right? And it creates this like difference. And we learn to not trust our feelings when we just like feel the feelings, you know, and we're experiencing the world in a different way. And we have like people telling us, oh, you put your homework in late. Ben, you never do homework. Ben, stop wiggling so much. You're always wiggling. And I'm like, hey, like, hey, it's like, let me wiggle, man. No, I'm like, I'm going to freaking wiggle. We almost like, I feel like we live our whole lives trying to be what society expects. They did this thing in a nursing home, in a hospice, you know, where people go at the end of their life. And they asked them, like, what are your biggest regrets? And most of them say it was living a life to help others. Like, I'm living a life that wasn't true to who I really was. Living a life that was just trying to please others. And I think I woke up to that fact recently. I was like, oh my gosh, I've been living my whole life to just make the people around me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was think, like, how do I live my life? I remember, like,
when we first started hanging out, I think you told me that I was rude, or you felt like I was rude, because at that time I've never really masked too much, I don't think, and I was already being like my authentic self and not caring what other people thought. And I think you were still in that conditioning of like, oh, you can't just say what you think and you can't like express yourself in certain ways in public, because that was like what society had taught you. There were aspects of like I hadn't learned yet to maybe I did need to filter certain things, but I think that's often our fear, right? Is that like, oh, if I say this or if I do this, I'll come across as rude or weird or annoying. And it's just like learning to forget that noise. I think that's part of what unmasking is, right?
It's an interesting balance because I feel like a lot of us have like these intense emotional experiences that we grow up with by being different with ADHD or any kind of neurodiversity. Mm-hmm. And I think that means that you have this protective mechanism going on. Like, I know that for me, like, I have a lot of anger that I need to still process, and I have a lot of, you know, intense emotions that I haven't fully processed yet. And I feel like it comes out in moments when we get triggered, and we can get triggered in public. And so, like, is it our responsibility to go and, like, because therapy costs money, you know, and healing modalities cost money sometimes, you know, and it's not easy to learn what actually really helps. It's sometimes it's really expensive to do what really helps. So, like, how do we manage the balance between, you know, living a life where we can be authentic and happy while living amongst a society that sees things different? And maybe that's the struggle of the artist, you know? Like, maybe that's just, that's why artists are trying to show neurotypicals, or like, I feel like creative people, we're trying to show what it's like for them sometimes, a lot of the time, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I feel this. I've noticed this. Maybe we are the canaries in the coal mine and we have to express it, because if you play down your emotions or play down authentic emotional reactions, how does a society know what is wrong or what is right?
Yeah. I'm just having a quick look at ADDitude, love them. They have an article on ADHD masking signs and consequences. And the title is Why ADHD Masking is a Form of Self-Sabotage. And it just goes into a little bit of like, what is masking? And it's saying that, you know, it's trying to conform to neurotypical standards to avoid shame and stigma. And that women and girls tend to develop more compensatory behaviors that mask ADHD, which is part of why women and girls are less likely to get diagnosed. So in a way, it's like you're self-sabotaging your own diagnosis and being able to understand and work with your ADHD by trying to cover it up to fit into like these social standards. And it's also just like social conditioning society, you know, tells us that women should not be out of place or not disrupt, because it's a man's world essentially. And it's all these things that we learn to then put ourselves into these boxes. And it has a few examples here of, what is ADHD masking? One of them is, my house is an embarrassing cluttered mess. I don't let people come over. All of the pictures I take inside my home are carefully constructed and cropped to hide the clutter. And I think that's interesting, because that actually, even recording this podcast, I feel like I am unintentionally masking, because if you look here, it's like, oh, look, Addie has a nice background. But like, guys, this is my room. I'm just going to show you, like, it's a mess.
This is unmasking.
You know, there's clothes everywhere. It's me and my partner both have ADHD. And like, this is the standard of like the state of our room. My bed is never made. There's always clothes everywhere. I have a dog and a cat. So like, it's hard to keep up with all that. And yeah, I still feel that urge, I guess, like when I take a photo and post it online, that I have to hide. But some of the stuff that has done the best, I once did a reel that was like, I think it used Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again song. And it was just walking around my house, showing everyone my mess and on ADHD doers. And everyone was like, so good to see this and see that someone else is living like this. And it helps like normalize it and get rid of the shame. Yeah.
We can definitely talk more about like how we mask. Like, I feel like, I've noticed that when I was young, I didn't know I was that weird, and I got up to people and then they would realize I was weird after like 3 minutes. To like, there's suddenly a moment where they're just like, oh, this guy's really weird. And so after I learned that people just thought I was really weird, I thought, okay, I'll just pretend to be normal when I meet people and like give them a bit of grace. Mm-hmm. And then that turned into like a whole lifestyle and a whole identity that I built myself around, to a point where like maybe like you can make all sorts of decisions about what job you have, and then you're like stuck in this kind of like you were saying, in a job context, you feel like you have to act in a different way. And I resonate with that too.
A bit, yeah.
What, something about the pressure or something, or when there's a judgy atmosphere. But then there's other times, like when do we feel most authentic, and when do you feel most yourself, do you think? What kind of environments do you put yourself in
when
to feel
around...
free?
Yeah, when I'm around people who are accepting and who care about me and just like let me be myself without judgment, that is when I feel like I'm most authentic, you know, around others who are also weirdos.
Yeah, I feel we do gather together. You know, they say that about neurodiverse people. We gather together, and maybe it's because when you find a bunch of neurodiverse people, they, like, in my experience, they've always seemed really chill and really accepting. And they're like, hey, you're weird. I'm weird too. Let's be friends. Like, I feel like there's some yeah. sort of like around my wife, she makes me feel like she just loves me for who I am. And I feel like I can really be myself around her to the point where there's sometimes where I'm sitting around and I'm just like, sometimes I'm just jiggling, you know, because I've got some like anxious energy. Or, you know, there's sometimes when, you know, she lets me just yell random words loudly, you know, if I want to vent some anger or vent some random thing. And I could, I think that in that acceptance, I can valve those emotions that are intense and sometimes bound up. Like, we have so much tension that builds up. Well, do you feel that through the day if you're interacting with a lot of people socially and they've got intense emotions? I feel like I get fucking tuckered. I don't know what side of me that is. Maybe it's the ADHD, maybe it's the autism. But I feel like digesting those emotions takes me time. And I feel like I get more and more wound up unless I get to vent. Or deep breathe, and that always helps. I feel like I'm most unmasked when I'm having a good time, man, or dancing at fucking disco, and I can just wiggle and jiggle.
I think I mentioned on our episode with Hayley that I like went out to a street dance party and I had like my over-ear headphones, and then I have my like what I call my emotional support plate, and I was just like dancing with my plate, and then me and my friend were like passing it back and forth and doing, you know, that improv game Let's And, and then we were like pretending that the plate was like a steering wheel, and then pretending that the plate was like an umbrella, and just doing
like
weird
fun
silly stuff.
It's funny how there's multiple sides of ADHD is. I know, like, and I've been through these different stages. There's the stages where maybe you're in a good mood and you're feeling really free and really fresh, and you are in an environment where you feel like you can really be yourself. But then there's this stage or a place where I go to sometimes emotionally, it can happen randomly, where I just feel crap about everything and I feel like I'm hiding away inside a hole, inside my house, don't want to see anyone. I feel like that's in that kind of guilt spiral kind of situation. It's a kind of like, everyone hates me situation. I'm taking my thoughts very seriously in that situation. It feels very horrible. And what I love about one of the guys we met, worldwide Muay Thai champion, Liam Harrison, he was like, I get those too. I'm an ADHD and I get those too. And I say, what do you do about those days? And he was like, oh, I just experience those days. I write off the day. I chill out. I relax. I tend to my own needs. And then I continue when I feel good, you know? And I was like, damn, okay. Thanks for saying that, dude. Like, respect. That was freaking legendary. I try and follow that example. Why is it so hard to be ourselves, Addy?
Something that you were saying where you were like, you had like learnt to be this version that you expected other people to be. And then it's like, you had to then untangle, like, who am I really within this person that I'm putting out to the world? I think that's something that, again, we touched on briefly in that chat with Hayley, is like unmasking in front of yourself, right? Of being like, wait, am I like pretending to be this put together version of myself? And then it's causing like all this internal distress because you're not being authentic, right? You're not being true to yourself. And so there's this like cognitive dissonance, which is an uncomfortable feeling of like, oh, this is what I'm putting out to the world, this is what I'm pretending I am. And you're even trying to convince yourself that that is who you are. Yeah. But then when you take a step back and you're like, okay, wait, who am I really? What do I want to do?
A lot of the
do
time...
I want to jiggle around? Do I want to play with my fidget toys?
Yeah. A lot of the time we don't know what is going on. Like, I think that sometimes I find myself in moods and I'm like, okay. Like, I'm feeling like this. And I don't like, and I sit in it a little bit. I don't like, I can't accept it. I'm like, I just want to be grumpy today or something like that. But like, I don't know. I feel like it's hard to kind of, it's not that hard, but maybe it isn't hard. You know, maybe if we decided, oh, today for one day, I'm just going to try being more myself. What would that day be like? Would it be a good day? Or would we get beaten up? We don't know the solutions.
And like, it's, I think it's also valid that if you're in a situation where you feel like it's maybe not safe physically to completely express yourself, like, you know, there is examples of like autistic individuals having a meltdown and then being arrested or something like that. Because their behavior didn't match with what society perceived as like to be okay. And I know I've had emotional breakdowns where I've had like outbursts because I was overwhelmed and stressed, and like the way that you then get perceived by especially figures of authority, it can be detrimental. And so it's like, should we then be masking in those situations? I don't know. Because like, for example, last year I got stopped at the border entering Canada and they held me for 3 hours and they would talk to me for 20 minutes and then stop talking to me. And I was like crying because I was getting anxious. I was like overwhelmed. And they're all just like, why are you crying? Why are you stressed about this? And drilling you. And in that situation, it's like, would I have been better to try and mask and pretend like everything was okay? I don't know. But for me, I find that it's not possible for me to do that.
It's almost like...
honestly, I think the solution is education on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Like people need to be aware that people are going to express themselves differently.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It's like we need the grand revolution to just be like, hey, and I think people are learning it more and more with like social media and linking together more people than ever that hey, like we are ADHD, like almost we need to be the people too in all of us. Like we are kind of like the representatives of ADHD, like all of us, you listen to this too. I feel like sometimes it's good. Like sometimes people won't understand when you say what I'm about to say, and sometimes people will, and sometimes people will be like, okay, I get it. But like to say like, hey, like I am ADHD, maybe I'm autistic as well, and I experience emotions very intensely. And I feel like when I say that to people on the other side, because we're literally experiencing the world differently, I feel like when I say that, they relax a bit and they understand a bit more. Mm. And I have to... It almost gives me permission to be a little bit more myself. You know, I'm not going to like full on wiggle my hands in front of them like I'd like to, but maybe I'd find a way to fit it in somewhere, you know? But I feel like that gives me a bit more permission because then they won't get scared and they can understand a bit more. I feel like there should definitely be like training for like people in these situations about autism awareness, ADHD awareness, what it really means and how it can affect the people that you'll be with. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, one of the things that it was saying in that article is that when they're asking people's experience, someone said that I feel like I have to fix my fidgeting or cover it up because it's not seen as like socially appropriate. Yeah, I keep my arms folded in front of me to avoid fidgeting. I'm always changing body positions. It's like, why is it so disruptive to you, sir, who is talking to me, that I'm doing this? Like, why does that affect you, you know?
Yeah. I think almost we need to all look at it fresh and be like okay, like we've got one life. And I could live a life where I am just letting the world affect me, or I can open the little pocket of where I am and the people that I meet, and just like open their eyes to a different view on reality. And in fact, you know, when you see someone walking down the street and they're yelling, or maybe they're, you know, shaking a bit because they've got some intense emotional experience, people are like, oh, that's who they are. You know, a lot of the time, I don't think people care as much as we think they do. But I think because we've lived lives where we have been judged a lot for being different, that I feel like we are scared of it more than what it actually is. And I know that we should also take responsibility for regulating our emotions if that's something we want to do. Doing things like NSDR, non-sleep deep rest, yoga nidra. I feel like these things are very approachable for ADHDers. You know, you just lie down and connect with your body, and it helps you regulate your emotions, which is fucking dope. I think that's cool. So I feel like it's on both sides we can make improvements. Like I didn't realize that I could improve my emotional regulation, and it's been like life changing to learn that you can through therapy and, you know, through exploring the things that help and learning more about the nervous system and all of this. Polyvagal theory is a key word that I want to share. But I feel like then we're helping both sides, because we do come from different places. We have different views on reality, neurodiverse and versus neurotypical. Mamma mia, we're literally experiencing two different realities. We're having this super sensory emotional experience, and it must be something different for them. We should get one on and interview them and be like, what do you feel?
A neurotypical?
Yeah, like, I don't know, that'd be an interesting experiment, wouldn't it?
Not feeling everything.
What's it like to focus?
What?
What's it like to focus for a long period and not, like, get really tight? What's it like to do things that you don't want to do?
Yeah.
No. What's it like to pay your taxes on time?
Feel like you need to move around. I actually am like on the last day every year, so technically on time, but like,
wait, say again.
That deadline gets me.
Wait, say again. It
I pay
cut
my taxes
out a
on time, but it's only because I pay my taxes on time, but only because it's the last day every time. So it's that deadline that gets me.
Yeah. Deadlines help you do it in, like, I don't know. Why do we do that? Why do we delay everything? That's such a weird concept to delay it to last minute. I don't know. That's a whole nother episode. We're talking about unmasking, Addy. We're running off the rails.
Yeah, you're going off about emotional regulation. Like, we talk about that a lot, Ben. I know you need to regulate emotions. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, that's me. That's my
cult. So what are some ways that you have found yourself being more authentic in public situations?
I think it takes time, and I think it takes you. Here's my formula that I see it in my head. You're experiencing life like a river, and it's running through. You know, you're born and you sail past that, and you're in school and you sail past that, and each little event we come up to like teaches a little something. And I feel like what I've started to do is to try and feel inside my body and ask, like, am I being true to myself right now? Or am I just going along with something because this person is persuasive or this person is charismatic? And I try and be more okay with uncomfort. You know, I think uncomfort is a very strong emotion. Like, I always want to be entertained. I think that sometimes I'm bored or whatever. But I feel like the more I expose myself to uncomfortable situations, like social situations, and I react to that emotion, I have like another opportunity to react to that emotion and have a new relationship with that emotion. Like, for example, when we're about to do a performance with the band, there's this guy that has been doing it for 30 years. And I said, do you still get nervous before we perform? And he goes, every single time. And if I don't, it's a rubbish performance. And I used to get all wrapped up with anxiety. I used to do like an open mic every week, for example, and I would be terrified. I would always be terrified. freaked out beyond belief. Oh no, I'm opening myself up to be super judged right now. And it was super scary, and I'd be freaked out every time. I didn't want to do it every time, but I decided to like purposefully expose myself to the uncomfort so I can almost be more at home when those sensations of that thing comes. Another thing that helps me is someone once said that we have nervousness and we have excitement. Like maybe when you're landing in a new country, maybe when you're off to see some people again. But she said that they're basically the same sensation, that our brain is labeling one way or the other. We're labeling it good or we're labeling it bad. People have said that it's your body getting ready. You know, it's adrenalizing. It's getting ready to think faster. It's not just a bad thing when we go into survival mode. I know that it can be intense, so don't get me wrong. And I know that it can be uncomfortable, but I feel like if, you know, day one, we just let it exist for 3 seconds. Day two, we let it exist for 4. You know, maybe by day 10, we can let it exist for 11 seconds. Just let that feeling come. And I feel like we can grow that. And that may sound crazy to some people, but that's my experience, is that you can grow your capacity to kind of feel these uncomfortable things. And that has helped me become more comfortable with being myself. That in terms of anxiety, of guilt and shame. Saying, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like that to be able to be more authentically yourself, because doing that is an uncomfortable experience initially, right? Mm-hmm. Because of like, you feel like the people around you might judge you or whatever. It's like when people have a phobia, and it's like exposure therapy to the thing that they're scared of, but it starts like in really like small increments, right? And so you're doing that with, okay, maybe if I can just like stim for like 1 second and then
exposure,
and then
therapy.
You'll learn that, oh, like no one did anything. No one did anything. It was okay.
Yeah. Like dip your toe. Dip your toe in the expression zone. You know? If you've got rage, maybe do it on your own.
I know
own.
That you have like...
Yell it to a pillow is a good one. You have rage. I got you on the rage. Because rage is not like allowed in public, right? You're not really allowed.
Oh, no.
People get weird around rage.
Yeah.
We got to do it on our own. Got yell into a pillow like we're an animal. That's what one guy said to me. He goes... I was like, how do you safely express anger? And he goes, you should see me, man. I'm an animal. I was like, damn. He probably is. Into the pillow. He's like, punch the pillow. I don't know. That's one. What were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I say that I know you have, like, when we're each other, I feel like we're pretty unmasked because we're just like, whatever. And I know you like to have, like, some of your vocal stims and, like, play around with your hair or do all these things. And, like, have you found that you've been able to do that more in public settings?
Like today, I was walking around a flea market and I was singing. And I was singing on purpose.
Yeah.
Not for anyone else and not to say, like, oh, look, I love to sing. But just be like, I'm happy. In the Philippines, everyone sings all the time. You walk into a shop, I'd say half the people are singing. That was my experience. And I was like, damn, that's so nice. Why aren't we doing that? And you know what? It has helped me regulate my nervous system. Always puts me in a good mood. And it's something that like is pretty mindful. You know, you're paying attention to a sensation, a sound. You have to keep aware of it, how it changes. You have to concentrate on what the pitch is to make it sound good. You know, it's a mindful thing. And so I'm like, hey, like, everyone does therapy in their own way. Some people, you know, smoke to regulate their nervous system. Some people blast music loud when they're driving down the street and that regulates their nervous system down. And I sing. And it's fucking lush. And I love it.
Yeah,
I love
it's great.
It so much. I love it.
I what do feel you do? Like over the last couple of years, I've started... I actually really... I do hand flap sometimes, or I do this my jiggle. Oh, when I have food that I like, everyone's like, oh, you're so cute. You do like this when you start eating food that you like. And I'm like,
Dude, I'm loud when I eat
like
food.
The last few years. Yeah, oh, yum, yum, you're like, yum, yum.
I'm like, yum! Way too loud. And and my wife used to tell me off, but now she doesn't anymore. She just lets me yell yum.
That's great. And that's also, I think, part of it is people around you learning and accepting how you express yourself. And that, like, a lot of the time, neurodivergent behaviors and stimming is like, it's a happy thing. Like, sometimes it's to get out strong emotions, like intense negative emotion, like negative quote, anger and stuff. But a lot of the time it's like how we express joy is like, yeah, we jump around or we like make like weird noises and stuff.
Oh my God.
And to want to quash that in someone is just like, why would you want to squash someone's expression of joy?
Like, autistic joy is a key word that I think comes up a lot in the community. And I feel there's something so beautiful and pure. It's such experienced so strongly. You know, I see it in my autistic friends. I see it in myself. When I'm talking about something I love, people look at me in a certain way, like, whoa, that guy really loves something. And I think that, you know, you're always, when you're expressing yourself, you're always going to get good and bad reactions. And some people may hate you, but some people will love you because you have the confidence to do something that they don't. And sometimes I feel like with expression, I feel like charisma of being yourself puts people at ease because people can instantly see like, oh, this person's being themselves. You know, I can trust that.
Mm.
And then they relax. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Seeing other people be authentically themselves puts you in a state of comfort, I think, because you're like, oh, we're not playing the game, the weird game. Social game where we try and fit into these robot boxes. That's how I feel, at least anyway.
The game.
But when you can see that they are like, oh, this is the real me underneath this robot, you're like, hi, you.
Yeah. Or if you can be like, hey, like, I'm crazy sometimes. I'd say like 80% of the time, people would be like, me too. Or they want to say that.
Ah.
They know it inside, even if they don't say it. I think everyone gets a hijack by their limbic, you know, emotional side. Sometimes, you know, it's just like we do it like a whole bunch sometimes.
Yeah. And I think another part of unmasking is just like being real with people about what you struggle with. So I laugh about it. Like, I was reflecting the other day on how I used to put on my resume time management.
Oops, sorry, I made a technical mistake. Can you say it again?
I put on your resume? I used to. Time management. So is that deluded? Like, I guess about my reality of like how I experience time, that I genuinely thought I had good time management.
Oh.
Like, I was that far into covering up the experience, and now I'm like, I'm not putting that. And actually, I talk to people about it. Like, actually, no, that's something I struggle with. I'm very grateful. Like, I work, you know, with ADHD doers. Everyone gets it in that community. Even the other job I do contracting for, like, I think they expect me to be like 5 or 10 minutes late jumping on a Zoom call, and they understand it. I'm like, oh, I'm just jumping on. Like, it's about building bases where you can be accepted. And I recognize that that is not necessarily a possibility for everyone. But I think that if you have at least some spaces in your life where you feel like you can express like those struggles and say like, look, I have a lot of trouble with like tidying my home or with being on time for things or whatever it is. And just expressing those struggles is a form of unmasking that can help you feel like you don't have to cover it up as much, right?
It's like we mask to a point where it feels like that's who we are. I'm just like this.
Yeah.
We say, or I know that I'm masked, or like I still mask, like I feel like it's become my personality now. Like I remember we did this personality test when I was just about to become a youth worker. And the personality test was like to see if you're like introverted or extroverted. And I remember that day I was like, I'm going to decide to be extroverted because I feel like that's what would benefit in that kind of like I'm a youth worker kind of lifestyle. And I feel like I had a year of experience doing that and being really energetic for all the young people. We were like, I don't know, it's like a retreat center for young people. And I feel like I wrote in my personality there as an extroverted. I built my, what do they call it? A social mask. And I feel like I can talk to a lot of people for about 5 minutes. And then I run out of script of like my fake charisma. And then I'm like, oh, I'm just really chill. But like, I still do it sometimes when I meet people, I'm really hyped. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm just chill. I don't know. It's weird. Reading social cues. I got better at reading social cues and that helped a lot. But I think like stuff like stimming being like more talked about in public is great. I feel like more people get exposed to it on like TikTok and Instagram, or like people just showing what it's like. I feel like we could also explain why it helps. You know, like why does stimming actually help? I feel like we're grounding ourselves in a way. We're connecting our mind to our body and that helps us regulate our emotions. It gets us something to focus on. But I even just communicating in a sentence and just making it like more normal. Be like, oh yeah, I squeeze this thing because it makes me feel good. Oh, you have a rug. Do you mind if I like squish my feet all over it because it feels really good? It's something I have said to people. It's like, god damn, that's a squidgy rug. Do you mind if I sit on it? They were like, yeah. I'm like, oh, thanks. This is really helping me ground. Yeah, so I guess normalizing it makes it more fun.
Exactly.
Like, no big deal.
I think.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm ADHD. I do this to regulate my nervous system. Helps me regulate my emotions. Love ya. That's like 10 words, 12, I don't know. Over in a ticket.
Yeah. Mate. Or like it helps me focus, right? People are like, oh, I actually in my old job, I was like they said that we could order things on like a company budget to help us with work. And I was like, can I get a chew toy? You know, the finance guy was like, sure. Like if you want. And I was like, yeah, because it helps me focus. Like if I need to sit and do like boring work, but I have something to chew on. So I had like one of those necklaces.
I love
and
Maddie.
Just
great
like being open to okay maybe this is weird but like this is something that actually helps me
that I think your balls or your ovaries are just so powerful to ask yo I need something to chew on please allocate the business budget I need the chews as you should though you're normalizing it and make it no big deal wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freaking great stuff.
And some people are like, oh, that's a bit weird. And I'm like, cool. Yeah, but I don't care if it's weird to you because it helps me.
I think it definitely helps, like, explaining it in advance and being like, hey, I'm this, I'm that. You know? Which I really like. Yeah.
So,
you wanna,
that's been, I guess, our experiences on our masking. It's just figuring out what feels good for you, finding a space where you feel like you can be authentic and cultivating more of those spaces in your life is how I found taking off the mask to work.
Nice. If you want to share your thoughts and join in the conversation or if something you'd like to share with us with unmasking, DM us on ADHD Explorers Instagram. It's just ADHD Explorers. We're there. We're watching. And let us know how you unmask and like what, I don't know, what helps you. And then we can share those tips with everyone. So lots of love. Check out ADHDdoers.com. We've got loads of eBooks. It's pay as you feel. We're all we are at ADHD Doers and ADHD Explorers is a bunch of ADHDers trying to help other ADHDers kick ass at life, acknowledging the reality of ADHD at the same time. So we've got these ebooks we've put together with like experts in the different fields, nutrition, you know, physical stuff, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's on ADHDoers.com. Check it out. Follow us on Instagram, ADHD Explorers.
Leave us a review.
Big love. Look after yourselves.
All the things. Love you.
Bye. Yeah, for now, just love yourself. Make sure you're not too serious about everything. Love you. Bye.